Our good friend Philip Bendheim is here, and Philip, of course, is the Director of International Relations for Yad Sarah. Yad Sarah has been around so long in this country that they are soon going to celebrate their 50th anniversary of serving the people of Israel, which is pretty remarkable, frankly. And I'll start on a personal note, because we mentioned earlier that every family has been hit so hard during these times. I literally this morning was at Yosef Gedalia's kever at Har Herzl. Wow. And my condolences to you and the entire family. This is your great-nephew, right? Your great-nephew. Correct. And obviously families, some get hit harder by others with this whole thing. But the what you're feeling, I'm sure you feel the entire country is going through.
Everybody's impacted, only this, of course, directly closer to home. Mm-hmm. But everybody's impacted in some way,
to say the least. And families are going through a tremendous amount of pain. And we think about those whose family members are still being held hostage, those who have wounded in the hospital, and obviously those who have been killed by the enemy in this incredible event of Shmini Atzeret Simchat Torah. Okay, Philip Bendheim, I could only imagine with all the work and all the incredible service that Yad Sarah does for the people of Israel regularly, I could only imagine what has happened over the last couple of weeks. First, tell our audience who may not be familiar what Sarah does regularly, what Yad Sarah does regularly, and then we'll move into what's been happening during this war.
I guess the big picture is that Yad Sarah fills the gap created by the health ministry and the government. While we're an NGO, most people expect that we are a GO. There's no other organization that serves the full gamut of the people in Israel, that cuts through the entire fabric of the state of Israel, Jewish, non-Jewish, older, younger.
And it was like that even before the war, folks.
And this is exactly the way it's been. Rabbi Uri Lapolyansky got started when he moved from Haifa to Jerusalem, and it was a cold winter, and somebody needed a ventilator, and they didn't have one, and you had to go to a hospital. He said, I'm not taking my kid to a hospital unnecessarily, and it's grown from that. Today that was the first branch in his living room. It's still branch number one. It still functions during the week. The Shabbos, people come over and borrow equipment. And today there are 126 branches across the country.
And the number of volunteers is off the charts.
The number of volunteers, it goes up and down, but
right.
it ranges.
That's a lot of people.
It ranges 6,500 to 7,500 right. people.
And so many different areas of the country, as you just described, big or small, have Yad Sarah locations where they're able to do what you just described. Exchange equipment, return things, get what they need. You know, an emergency comes up, certainly borrow what has to be, used for their family member, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be a medical emergency. Right. It's something as simple as somebody gives birth, they need a tent machine, they get a little crib that they can borrow that they don't have to purchase. A lot of people are on very tight budgets and also very tight apartments, and then they're able to return it and right through to, the home hospital equipment. Fully articulating beds and hoists and everything else that carry people. We do well now in crisis because we do well, in the regular ordinary times. Right. And there isn't a big adjustment. We sort of just move things around a little bit. But we did have to immediately, we set up. We had, for example, branches in every hospital. But there wasn't enough equipment for the number of people that were coming in. So we brought full container loads of equipment, set it up outside of hospitals so that we had stock. The number of volunteers, certain branches were closed. We set up a pop-up branch in near the hotels in Yam HaMelech because those were the people we were being shuttled to. We have over 300 drivers who volunteer. They've gone down. They've moved people around. Initially, we didn't have safety equipment and... Fortunately, a donor provided the helmets and the vests. It's incredible the work that people are doing. It doesn't stop. Recently, we opened up a health and wellness center, what we call a Get Well Hotel on Rehov Yirmiyahu. It has 216 accessible rooms. There's nothing like it on the planet, never mind not in Israel. And it's sort of been in a run-in, but now it's been open to all handicapped people, and those, so the army is sending people to that facility. So it's now up and running. And these are facilities, these are people who can't be sent elsewhere because they don't otherwise have the accessible facilities that we have over there. you know, not to mention that not long ago we opened up a stillbirth respite center in that facility as well, but that's for another time. So we've moved thousands of people, and we get them out of the hospitals, because the hospitals, you need to be in a hospital, we need to be in a hospital, but you don't want to spend a minute longer than you need to spend in a hospital. And we free them up so that they can handle the patients that need to be in a hospital and get the people home. We're not the first responder. We're not at the hospital, but we're there the day after.
And a very important support system, to say the least. And I'm familiar somewhat with Yad Sarah and some of the things that they've been doing, but the list seems to be endless. It just goes on and on and on. And when a need arises, Yad Sarah is ready to jump in and meet that need.
That is what Reb Uri is known for. He sees a need, and he fills it before anybody else has recognized it, and then we backfill if we have to. And that's everything from years ago from a laundry service or to handicap vehicles that were created by Reb Uri, and we even coined a terminology called a nechonit, which is a combination of being ready, available, and handicapped, to services, a pharmacy that distributes medications free of charge. Last year we did close to 2 million shekel. Just in the last week or two, we've done over 250,000 shekel of medicines. It previously was to the financially needy. Now it's to anybody who's needy. There are people who've been obviously displaced from their homes and their medication is there. We get them stuff. And some of our volunteer drivers move this stuff. I had a conversation last night with a donor who I'd never met before. Foundation was introduced to us. He was introduced to us by another foundation that we work with. He said he wants to give money to people in Israel. He doesn't have the time to vet the people. And this other foundation gave him a list of some people that he can comfortably give to. And he did. And then I actually had the chutzpah of asking him to raise the donation to something else. And he just wrote me, as I was walking in here, I got his email. He said they'd be happy to do that as well.
Approved.
And that's unbelievable.
Philip Bentheim's here. We're talking about Yad Sarah. Now, it's no secret. I mean, the math adds up. Unfortunately, there are so many wounded now in Israel, and many of them obviously still in hospitals with some of the wounds that we were horrified to hear about, that some of the soldiers and others have experienced through all of this. As they leave the hospital, as they begin to go home, please God, they're going to need to turn to Yad Sarah for all the equipment. And again, what the health ministry has assigned to you guys, which is basically, you know, provide for them everything they needed home at this point.
I would use the term, not that the health ministry has assigned to us. Right. I would say that they've abdicated. But and that is what we do. Right. We actually help people get out of hospitals.
So those numbers are just going to increase now, yes. Unfortunately.
They are, and we're looking, we need to replace equipment. We don't have the time for it, so we're actually buying equipment here locally from distributors, paying more money in order to be able to have equipment, because that's what we do.
All right, so now there are people listening, as you know, that are very anxious, and the last 2 weeks have proven it, who are very anxious to support good causes in Israel that are resulting in what you just described, an immediate need being met, and obviously Yad Sarah fits right into that category. What is the easiest way for our listeners to support the initiative of Yad Sarah in general? And is there a specific campaign now for the war? Or basically, it's just full steam ahead with what Yad Sarah has always been doing?
We might say something about the current situation, sure. But it's what we do all the time.
Right.
The easiest for the people in the United States, we have our foundation, Friends of Yad Sarah in America, which, by the way, my mother founded about 44 right. years ago. My late mother,
yep.
Although she was not always late, but passed away this year.
It was funny today.
She had a pretty good run, Baruch Hashem.
As you know, we're in the area of Har Herzl, so two of the buildings I see, Yad Sarah and Shaarei Tzedek, and I'm thinking, of course, of your parents, obviously.
Yes, you know, as you know, it's not always easy to choose your parents. We think we did very, very well.
Yes,
and Baruch
you did.
Hashem, I think our parents also chose very well, so we have it. Fortunately, in our blood and in our DNA, we're able to continue to help how we can.
So the easiest way to donate.
So the easiest way to donate, if you just Google Yad Sarah or Friends of Yad Sarah, that'll come up, and you can go right onto the website.
And hit the donate button.
And hit the donate button. For people who are in Israel, for example, we have two options. Again, you can do it on Google, and you can do it on the Israeli site. And for people in Israel who would like to have
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
A U.S. tax-recognized receipt but their funds are in Israel, and they want to dedicate, put the money in Israel.
Right.
We also have an account here in Israel. The Friends of Yatzara maintains an account here in Israel where people can put in shekel or whatever else it is and get a U.S. 501c3 recognized receipt. Otherwise, general receipt here in Israel.
All right.
Whatever you do, it'd be
over
great.
Over the last 2 weeks, we've been very, very upfront about supporting causes that are doing good things right now in Israel. And I would hope that everybody would add Yad Sara to that list. What you do is, as Philip Bentheim just recommended, you literally could just search Yad Sara, Y-A-D, and then Sara, same spelling as Sarah.
S-A-R-H.
S-A-R-A-H. It's Yad Sara. And you could hit the donate button and give to a cause that's almost 50 years already doing all of this in the state of Israel and all these different locations, north, south, east, and west. But
and I'd like to add to that as well, that in terms of lots of wonderful organizations do a lot of wonderful things, but it's something that I can attest to because I'm there now all the time, every day. And I see that basically 96 cents out of every dollar goes to the cause because we have so many volunteers and so few paid employees. And the paid employees will tell you they're half volunteers anyway based on the minimum wage. But it's some place that I feel comfortable asking other people to give money to. And that's very important, and it's vetted, and as was demonstrated by the other foundation, and I think that's important. Everybody wants to do a lot of good things. This is a good thing.
Yeah, we can't recommend it enough. Yad Sara, everybody, go search it online, hit the donate button, give generously as possible. And I'll add that soon enough, I pray, people will again be hopping on planes to come as tourists and visitors to Israel. You must see the Yad Sara Center, because Uri Lopoyansky had a vision years ago to really consolidate all the services, at least the bulk of them, into one main center here in Jerusalem, and that dream came true.
So since then, he had a smarter, wiser dream thereafter. After that initially started that way, was that it wasn't the most efficient and cost-effective, and we now have six major distribution centers around the country, which minimizes the amount of moving equipment around and gets it to people sooner, faster, better, quicker, less expensively. So Yad Sara Jerusalem is no longer, it's one of the distribution centers, but it's only one of six that are around the country, and we're now actually building a seventh. So Uri doesn't mind recreating visions as the needs come up.
So when we see that large building in Jerusalem, that's just a little piece of it. That's a little piece of the big operation.
Providing a wonderful, large array of services.
Pretty amazing. Philip, great to see you. Continued success with Yad Sara. And
you, on a personal level, to Stacy and the kids.
Thank you very much. I don't know what to say. The atmosphere here is mixed, to say the least, and I think it's important for people back in the diaspora to understand that. It's a big challenge ahead for Israel, for the Israeli army.
The big thing is always people would say, "Ain't me limb," and they mean that in a positive way.
No words.
They can't possibly explain it. It can't give it enough of a compliment. But today, the words "ain't me limb" are really because the horrific situation is so indescribable. So we'll leave the "ain't me limb" today for that, and we'll wait for the better days when "ain't me limb" is just positive.
Well said. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very, very much.